Welcome to Kick Back with Chris. Kick Back with Chris, the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by SGC Security Services. Excellence as standard.
Hello, my Talk Bollocks Tuesday tribe. It's Tuesday again, and that can only mean one thing.
What can it mean?
Time to talk bollocks.
I just
left that open goal there then.
Sorry, dude. I'm obviously not.
Do you know what? We'll get one of these intros right one of these days. Like, we'll aim for episode 150. We'll be streamlined.
You need to, like, tell me, like, when I say this, you need to say this.
You're a professional now. We've been doing this for a long time.
I'm definitely not a professional.
You should just be able to vibe off each other virtually.
I think once we're flowing, we're good. Intros are not so good.
Once we're flowing. Yeah, I've never been one for intros. I'm very not very good at intros, as you can tell from that monstrosity I just threw at you. Like Alan Partridge on speed. Anyway, enough of that. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've got a bit of a cough, so if I disappear into silence, I've muted myself, I'm having a coughing fit, and I shall return refreshed. It's a bit of a weird cough, because I don't have it during the day, and then when it gets to about 8 o'clock, it starts, and then I'm coughing all night. So I'm currently sleeping erect. By that, I mean sleeping.
Well, somebody qualify that, haven't I? Put it on YouTube.
I'm sleeping upright, so I'm sat up in bed, because if I lay down, I just cough for hours and hours and hours. So it's a bit of a weird one.
Carry on kickback.
Yeah.
So, ooh, Matrix.
That's not great. So if I disappear, it's because I'm coughing.
Oh dear, I just can't get that out of my head now. Anyway, enough of that. Right. So what we've done moaning people.
Yes.
Done dealing with complaints.
Yes.
What next level of darkness are we going to drop to this time then?
No. Tonight's a positive one. I was going to talk about, like, often if you market in the wrong way, you attract the wrong type of person to your school, and that leads to the moaning and the complaints. So maybe just talking about how to market to attract your tribe.
You just put a big sign above your door that says "No dickheads allowed."
I mean, that is one way, and I have seen that. I have seen that in schools.
Really?
That type of thing, yeah, above the door. Yeah.
What?
So that's pretty direct.
Well, I've got one that says "Leave your shoes and your ego at the edge of the mat." The door.
Classic. Yep.
Yeah, I got one of them.
Yeah. But you haven't got the dickhead sign. Maybe
that's. No, I haven't got a "No dickhead" sign.
But I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that in schools. So
that's amazing. I don't know if it works or not. Walk up to the front door and read it and go, "Oh, I can't go in."
Never mind. I'll go somewhere else. But I mean, part of the thing that we were chatting about with all the complaints and not listening to your students necessarily complaining about things is you might be just attracting the wrong type of people to your school, and therefore you're dealing with a lot of people who are not really happy with how you run the school because they're not really your type of people.
Yeah, no, totally. I get it. And you can, if you've been doing this for long enough, you start to pick up on it when they're applying.
Yeah.
The questions they're answering, the tone they're taking.
Yeah.
Like if they just send you a one-line email that says, "Send me prices."
Or even, not even that, just prices. Just prices.
Yeah.
You're like,
no.
Or text message, like, "Prices now." You're like, I can tell, you're going to be hard work.
Yeah, totally. You can't even be bothered to structure a polite sentence. You're just going to shout things at me. "Prices now!" Exclamation mark. No.
Yes.
Well, the ones that message all in capital letters.
Yeah. Well, maybe they've got switched on their capital letter button by accident. They don't mean to.
What, for an entire paragraph?
Yeah.
It's the people, and I'm sorry if you're one of these people out there, and this is going off topic a little bit, but it's people that put capital letters for the start of every single word that they type. The amount of extra effort that must take. Why do they do it?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird one.
There is people that do that though. Anyway.
Yeah.
So so I'm setting up my school. I've never done any like social media stuff or any email campaigns or marketing. I don't know who to attract. I don't know what sort of people I'm gonna what do I need to do? How do I need to do that then?
I think there's kind of five types of martial arts school out there, and you kind of need to decide which type you're in, because that's going to influence the type of marketing material you create. And now there might be more than five, and readers, if you think you're a different type of martial arts school, then let us know. But I've got five listed as like the most common types.
I bet I'm not any of them.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Go on, then. Number one would be a family-based martial arts school, which is the idea of we are a family and we cater to families. So family classes, okay, classes from kids all the way from four.
We're talking to 94. Entire school like business model set up as opposed to individual character traits.
Get you now. Yeah. Yes. How your school is set up. So if you set up to cater to families more, that's your kind of market that you're going after. Then the type of communication you want to put out into the world is very much we are a family. We are part of the local community. We are trying to help other families in the local community do X, Y, and Z and improve A, B, C. And you just keep talking about family a lot, I would say, for that type of martial arts school.
Okay.
Yep. So is that you or not?
Yes, to a degree, I would say. I am. Yeah, we do a lot of, I mean, we have 4-year-olds, 4 to 6, 6 to 10, 11, and teens and adults. So I would say, yeah, we are your stereotypical family martial arts school setup. Yeah.
Okay.
Just with a grumpy ass in charge.
That was easy. You're number one.
Well, I'd like to see what you're going to say. I might go, no, I'm that one actually, because that sounds good.
Right. So number two, I'd say, is a formal martial arts school, which is more about the tradition, the history, formality. There tends to be a lot of bowing, a lot of using the language of the country that it comes from. Kind of more, I wouldn't say restricted, but it's more traditional values martial arts.
We say authentic?
Yes, maybe even authentic. Oof. Yes. Which has a different feel than the family vibe, I would say. It's a bit more regimented, a bit more formal, a bit more, there's levels and layers and ways of communicating with people within the school that need to be understood. And if that's your cup of tea, then you need to communicate that you are more traditional, more authentic, more formal in your approach to martial arts and how you deliver. And try and find those people who find that interesting and attractive. So you're not a traditional school, I would say.
No, we have sprinklings of it, obviously. But I would say if I was to teach a 4-year-olds how I was taught as a child, I'd have no students. I would have probably prison time. I would have no students for sure.
Yeah. So that's not to say you can't do it, but you need to put it out into the world that this is what we're about and this is very important to how we run our school and we abide by these traditional values and this is what is going to be expected of you ahead of time so that you attract the right type of person.
Yeah, there's no wrong or right to this. It's just.
No. So next one is informal or friendly. So this is more relaxed. For example, I would class my school that I ran.
Now I'm thinking, is that us? We are a family, but we're also quite informal as well. I like to have fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really looking to attract families to my school. So we didn't really do things like family discounts. We didn't really have family classes, for example, which I know a lot of schools do. So we were kind of more informal and friendly. So no one called the sensei or sifu. It's just James. There was bowing, but only at the beginning and the end of the class. Anyone could come and have a chat with us as long as they didn't call us mate or something like that.
Yeah.
That was fine. We had a uniform, but it was more kind of informal t-shirt and gi pants with a belt. So it wasn't like a full uniform. Gradings were not done in the traditional manner with like maybe a panel, but more like a class kind of feel to it. So it was less intense, less stressful for people. So, and we made a lot of effort to kind of make friends with students and be quite friendly, which is often a tricky thing, isn't it? Because you can blur the lines, it can get messy, and
people think
you're your best mate. But we got quite good at it, I thought. We managed to make lots of friends with lots of our students, but they still respected the kind of, you know, how it worked. So, and a lot of our marketing was, I mean, one of our things, one of our taglines, were we were the friendliest school in our town. So we focused on being friendly and fairly relaxed.
Like about cheers. Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people just popping in and Norm, that type of thing. It was like that because people used to pop in and we'd shout out their nickname that we'd given them, and it was, yeah, had a more of a relaxed and friendly vibe, which appeals to some and not to others.
Yeah. What's that, three? That's three, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, come on. Number four.
A fight-based school, competition-based or fighting-based, where it's usually not quite as relaxed and friendly and not quite as formal as well. It's more about you're trying to attract people who are interested in competing, in winning stuff, in being champions, kicking butt, often got a different vibe. You can often tell when you walk into a fight school, it's just got a different feel about it.
You can just smell it.
Yeah, it's spit and sawdust, and it's sweat and blood and tears. So if you've got that type of school and that's the type of person you want, then you need to put that in your marketing, on your website, out into the world, in your socials, talking about how, you know, you're passionate about training fighters and taking them to XYZ levels.
Yeah.
And creating champions out of regular everyday people, and it's going to be tough and it's not going to be easy and you're going to have to suffer and grind. So you can communicate a message that is more about fighting.
Number five.
So have you got fighter school?
No.
No. So you're more friendly and family?
Yeah. Well, we have elements of formal, like I've just come out of a black belt class, and that's more formal, more regimented, and more military, I dare say. But just for that class.
Yes, because that's what they probably
that's like. What they want. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm curious as to what this one is.
This one's a bit of a controversial one. This is fantasy martial arts.
Oh.
So this is martial arts which are more about becoming a Jedi, becoming a super ninja killer.
McDojo life content.
Yeah, like maybe...
No touch knockouts.
Maybe things like movie-based stuff where people want to believe that they can do all the stuff that they see in the movie, in the movies. So it's kind of like... Well, there are schools out there that are really kind of...
I want to go to those schools.
Yeah. Sound fun, doesn't
they
it?
They sound badass. Lining up, pretending to be Jedi.
Yeah. So I kind of put that one in. It's a bit of a controversial one because, you know, there are people out there who, for example, believe in chi or ki, and people who don't believe in chi or ki. And if you're going to a school and you don't believe in chi or ki and they're teaching a lot of that type of stuff, universal energy, etc., it's not going to be the right place for you. You're going to probably just want to punch and kick people.
See what happens.
So if you put a fighter in that type of school, maybe it's more about spiritual, it's more about, you know, these different concepts. It's not going to work.
It isn't.
No. Now,
interestingly enough, if you just take five out of the equation, I've been through phases before of trying to do all of 1, 2, 3, and 4. And it was freaking stupid.
Right, didn't work.
Because I wanted to have elements of all, because I enjoy elements of all four.
Yep.
So I'd have.
But you also work in movies, Chris. So you're five as well. Don't deny it.
Yeah, but I don't bring that. I mean, we used to have a competition team and a performance team.
There you go.
But it was but it was very much listed as this is the performance team. We weren't waggling plastic lightsabers around, actually thinking we were Jedi Knights. They sure? knew it was a demo team, and they knew that they had to be in the regular classes to do the demo team. They couldn't just be part-time Power Rangers on a Saturday morning.
Fair enough.
Right. So let me just get that across.
Get that clear. Yeah, yeah.
Again, any hate mail more than normal. But no, I went through a stage of wanting to be all four, because I like elements of all four. Mm. And it just became a massive plate spinning exercise, and it was a nightmare because you'd have, you know, you'd have your family, like your normal, like maybe your adults, intermediate, relaxed class that's going out as your fight guys are walking in.
Or even worse, the other way around.
You're the other way around.
That's what we had at my school. We had a fight class followed by a regular kickboxing fitness class. And the kickboxers who came in were appalled by what was happening in the fight class, because it was just a load of sweaty Neanderthal men beating the crap out of each other and sweating and spilling blood all over the mats. And then, you know, all these people who were just doing it for fitness and fun and family were like, oh my God, what is this?
Well, I had a little bit of I had a bit of a temper tantrum with it all in around 2006, I think. Right. 2006. Yeah, we moved somebody along, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right, I'm going to, this is what I'm going to do with my school now, because I can. 27-year-old me. And I was like, right, all the adult classes are going to be sparring classes. That's all we're going to do. You can do sparring, fitness, conditioning, nothing else. I can't be bothered with this anymore. None of this messing about anymore. We're going to do it. And we did it. And it was great. And I really enjoyed it. And I had about 5 students.
Yeah, you just lost a load of people.
And I'm just like, shit. It's all well and good me really enjoying this, but if I'm going to be open 6 days a week and I'm going to actually earn some money out of this, I've either got to go all in on this and do it properly, like this, or I've got to, I can't have it every which way. It's just not going to work. I'm a marketing this. It makes no sense. You know, I was getting such a mishmash of people wanting to come, and it just didn't, it was a nightmare. So all I've done now is I have my training time in other gyms, and I have my school set up for how it needs to function to work how I need it to work for it to exist how it exists.
Yeah.
Rather than me trying to dip loads of stuff in that I like for me as a bit of a selfish thing. So I go and train in other stuff elsewhere, in other clubs.
Yeah.
So I itch that scratch without sort of breaking what I've built. And it's just about being honest with it and not being like, I used to have this hang up of not being embarrassed, I suppose, but thinking, well, we are tough and hard. We can, we can do that as well. I thought, no, Fred that works down the building society, he just wants to kick and punch and go back to work tomorrow. He doesn't want to have a bent nose.
Or concussion.
He doesn't want that. He just wants to come along, have a good time hitting pads, maybe doing a bit of light sparring, and going home and doing that 2-3 times a week. That's all he needs out of his training.
Yep.
Doesn't need me screaming at him, going, kick him in the legs harder. You know what I mean? He doesn't want that.
And if he does want,
well,
if he does want it himself, he can go and find it elsewhere, can't he?
I wanted to do that, and I went through a bit of a phase where I was like, I was just trying to, I don't know whether I was trying to prove a point to myself or feeling like I had to live up to the expectations of other local instructors or schools or anything like that. But as soon as I switched my focus into providing what my clients and what my students wanted, stop being selfish to a certain degree, giving them what they wanted,
mm-hmm.
It just worked.
Mm.
And then I have what I need and do that elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've not got, I love, my time where I'll go and, do a little bit of Muay Thai, do some pad work and stuff. Don't do it properly. Do a bit of pad work. But I like working to that level of intensity, really getting into it. Them shouting at me and, smacking me around with the pads and, the sort of stuff that if I did that with some of my students, they'd be like, "The fuck are you doing? Why are you doing this? We are calling the police." So, just accepting what we do for what we do and just be happy with it. It's facilitating it. It's keeping those people happy. It's meeting their needs.
Yeah. But importantly, though, I think when you look at the marketing that a lot of martial arts schools do, it's really hard to tell which category they're in. They're still trying to do what you were doing years ago, which is kind of cater to, hey, we're family and we're friendly and we're formal and we're informal and we do fighting and there's a little bit of fantasy as well. So therefore you get a real mix of people like getting in touch. And like you said right at the beginning, you can kind of tell that they're not the right people for your school, but because your marketing is not more clear and direct, you're just attracting everyone, really.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful. Thank God I've learned about this as the time's gone on, from mistakes. But you've got to be careful in that you're not just throwing the popular words out in your adverts.
Yeah.
You know, don't just say, you know, oh, our classes will help your kids with their confidence and their. And then put out all of this character building stuff in all your adverts and then literally just have them smashing pads and having a laugh and playing Tig. And the parents are going, where's all this character development stuff that was mentioned in the packs? Where's the self-defense that they said they'd learn?
Yes.
You know, you kind of, you got to just be careful with stuff like that, you know, because otherwise it it's just not right either. It's ethically a bit whiffy. You know, to claim you're going to make the kids super strong and tough and super confident in life. And then you get them to sit in a horse stance and shout in a different language whilst punching.
Yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? So that's what we think people want. So we put a lot of that stuff out there on the marketing, but then maybe don't necessarily actually have things in place within our own classes, syllabuses and lessons to actually deliver on some of that stuff. This is the whole thing with marketing. It's about being really clear who you're trying to attract and then putting out the right messages to that type of person. And like I mentioned with our school, we decided that we were going to focus on being really friendly. So our website was full of friendly pictures and the copy was friendly. Mm-hmm. And there were sections on the website about, you know, what to do if you're a bit nervous about turning up to your first class, and testimonials from people saying things like, we're really friendly instructors and we're not going to kick the crap out of you. And once we actually started focusing on that, we started to generate the right type of leads, people who are not really interested in necessarily fighting at a high level. They might do an interclub or two, but they weren't fighters per se. People who weren't interested in a lot of formality in the lessons, you know, and the traditional kind of approach, because we're a bit more eclectic, and people who didn't kind of think about martial arts in a fantastical way. They just wanted somewhere friendly to come. There were elements of family stuff, but we didn't really, like, if, you know, I wasn't particularly keen on teaching kids, so I prefer to focus more on adults. So, and it worked. And once we'd really nailed the marketing, we just got lots and lots of leads who resonated. So it is worth looking at what's on your website. Is it conveying the message you want to? What are you putting out on social media? Is that doing the same? What type of conversations you're having with people when they phone up about the classes? And, you know, in kind of almost interviewing them and what type of person they are and what they're looking for. And, you know, you've had that, obviously, where you've had people phone up and they just want to do MMA and you're like, we're not the right school for you.
Yeah, that's it. And another thing as well is being consistent, because there's nothing worse than, you know, Sheila bringing little Terry down for his first class and you're being the friendliest. Like, you're like Mr. Tumble on a really, really good day. Hi there, how are you doing? Oh, so nice to see you. Oh, come and join in. Oh, you're going to love this. It's the best thing ever. And then they come back for class two and he's like, Terry, you're late. Yeah, 10 press-ups. Get on the mat.
Jekyll and Hyde, right?
She was like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, what's happened to this guy? And then the parents are like, this is what he's like all the time. Oh, he wasn't like that last week. Oh, yeah, he just wanted you to sign up.
Yeah, exactly. Which scarily does happen.
Yeah, it does. You catch yourself sometimes. You've got to be consistent because
I never also think you've got to be true to yourself. Like, I'm not overly Mr. Tumble with kids. I'm fairly open and, you know, polite, but I'm not overly, hey, nice to see you. It's your first time. Way, wonderful. No. What's your name? I'm like just myself. So then there's no surprises later on when
that's it
down the line.
I teach the kids the same as I teach the adults. I just knock it up a few octaves. You know, make it a little bit louder and a little bit more animated, but it's basically just me. So when they move up, they're not like, who's this ogre? Like, it's just the same person. Just
it's basically about consistency of message, isn't it?
Exactly.
Being consistent with who you are, what you are, who you're trying to help, and putting that out into the world to kind of attract them to you.
That's the one. That's the one. The way you described the way you run your school sounds very, very similar to how I run mine. And although we do have a family vibe, we don't do family classes because I can't be bothered with them. You know, having, you know, 6 foot, 90 kilogram Barry the Dad bouncing around 7-year-old, 35 kilogram little Terry. Like, I don't need that.
Yeah.
Just the total, like, drop kicking his kid across the room. I can't be bothered.
However, in defense of family classes, and I know lots of people do run family classes.
Oh, yeah, I know.
If they organize correctly, they do increase retention, especially within families, because
they track each other
come at the same time, right?
Yeah. No, our highest or longest sort of, I won't say serving, but our longest attending students are families, the ones that have all maybe got to a higher level or black belt and they've carried on. They drag each other along. So if one's having a bit of a shitty day, the others go, come on, no, we're going training today, get your kit.
Yeah.
So they sort of all drag each other along every week.
Well, they're all supporting each other. They're all on the same path.
We'll say that. That sounds more positive. That's more positive. Supporting. I'm like, dragging each other. Come on, get your kit, your lazy shit. they by far are the ones that have highest retention of the families. I get the benefits of it and understand the positives of it. I just couldn't be bothered to run them. I just couldn't get it to work. I didn't. So then I'm like, why am I trying to? I actually got a massive family class. Well, massive for us anyway. We had like 45, 50 students, and I used to run it all in one go. I used to go and rent a hall across the road from the gym I was in.
Yeah.
And to start with, I'm like, this is great. And then I'm trying to class plan for it. I'm like, this is crap. I've got the dad, the mum, both beginners. I've got the 4-year-old, also a beginner. And like,
the 12-year-old, a black belt.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, hell, this is crap. Yeah. So they're bringing the kid along, who's been training this for 5 years. They're all no idea what they're doing. I'm like, oh, God. So I just stopped doing it. I let it sort of fizzle out and stop doing it.
Yeah.
So it just didn't.
Well, they might be interested if someone does one. I know several schools that are actually family only. They only have family classes, and they've got 500 plus members. So might be interesting if they would let us know how they make it work.
Absolutely. I mean, it does work, clearly. I don't know whether it's, I don't know, a personality thing. I don't know. Even with our assistant instructors and, you know, the trainees that are coming through, they're very, very different characters, and they'll be able to teach different classes in different ways. And then actually, and this is another thing of it as well, accepting that not everyone's going to like your classes just because it's your school.
Yeah.
Like, there are people that my dad teaches on a Tuesday, and there are people that only come on a Tuesday.
Yeah, because they like your dad's class.
They like his class.
Yeah.
I'm there every other day of the week and they don't come.
Yeah.
And I don't have a stamp and a cry about it. They just like his classes more than mine, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
When I was training, I used to pick certain instructor schools, instructors' classes to attend over others because I like their classes more.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just human nature, isn't it?
There's nothing wrong with that, but I think maybe some instructors get butt hurt if
they do.
They've been teaching, you know, and they brought up a teen into the instructor training program, and they start giving them more responsibly, more classes, and then suddenly some of their seniors have drifted off to that teen's class, and you're like, how dare you? I've been training 35 years, and you're
now. Oh, no. I get it, but I just feel. Like, no, just think the opposite, because, you know, they're going to stay now. There's a possibility that their next class with you might have been the last, and thought, oh, you know what, no, I'm not vibing it with this guy anymore. And then somebody's come in and they're a bit different. Like, oh, I kind of like this. Yeah. Just get out of your own way.
Indeed. Indeed, yes.
Indeed, you do. Yeah, it's a good one to finish. Anyway, by the way, I'm actually going to call this episode, whatever what we were saying at the start about no dickheads allowed or something.
Is that what it's going
to
be?
I'm going to call it something like that. I'm going to go back and listen to the start again. I mean, whatever we said at the start, that's what I'm going to call it. That's going to be the episode title.
I'll see if I can find the picture somewhere, because I took a picture of it when I was at the school. I was like, that is awesome. Just love it. Like, no messing about here. They're just going to tell you, like, you're a dickhead, bugger off.
Like a beep thing on the door, like it scans you when you walk through the door, and it just goes, "Dickhead, leave the premises."
I like it. Nice.
That would be really quite good, actually. If I could have the balls to put a sign up outside my door that said that.
Imagine, yeah. But you've got friendly family. It's not going to vibe. It's not the right vibe, is it?
No.
You're going to upset your regulars.
No rude people allowed.
No. I mean, that's for, yeah.
I better not. It's tempting. Oh, dear. Anyway, before I get myself into trouble. So you've got your, what have you got going on? Have you got something going on soon, did you say?
I've got some masterclasses going on, obviously, for physical training. And I've got this social media.
That's the one.
Course I'm going to be running in May about using local groups for marketing your school rather than just endlessly posting to your Facebook page and getting no results, which I think a lot of instructors find. Because Facebook obviously restricts pages and restricts the number of people can see your posts, so it's almost like it's not the most best use of your time you could do for marketing. So I'm going to do a course on basically how to use local groups to generate more leads, which is something we chatted about at the beginning.
Yeah. So then you don't attract dickheads.
Yeah, as long as you put out the right message with your
come full circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, to close, we are today actually quite exciting. I thought it was anyway. I got the first draft design back through for our new merch page that's going to be launching soon.
You'll be
able to get logos on stuff like hats and things, t-shirts and skin tight lycra vests. maybe not that. But you know what I do want to get, though? I do want to get a Talk Bollocks Tuesday t-shirt made.
I think we should. I think that actually, that's a damn good idea, dude. I'd wear that. I think that could be the surprise hit.
Talk Bollocks with a star on the O.
Yeah. Talk
Bollocks Tuesday. Yeah. And then with like the logo, the name underneath, kickbackpodcast.com, Talk Bollocks Tuesday. Well,
listeners, let us know. It could be a reality.
Somebody's already said they'd have one if I made it.
Okay, cool.
I just don't want to every time I go to an event just see somebody in like, oh shit. Like, just wear the one with the logo on it. Don't Yeah, I might get a limited edition Talk Bollocks Tuesday.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Mm.
I'll have one. Sign me up, dude. Sign me up.
Well, it should hopefully all be ready. I mean, I had the draft came back today, so I would think within a week or so it'd be live on the website. Good to go. People can go spend the pennies on it.
Cool. Nice.
And I'm not going to have one of their merch stores where you go to buy a T-shirt and you look at it and it's like, oh, it's 20 quid. Nice one. And then by the time you get to the bloody box, you've got to take out another mortgage to get it delivered to your house. I've already spoken to them about that. Like, I don't want none of that where it looks super cheap. And then by the time you get to the paying for
shipping and handling, $4.99, postage and packing, $4.99.
I don't want it to be a big, like, money-making thing. I just want to get merch out to people that can support the podcast. And you know, I don't want to become a millionaire from selling t-shirts. I just want to, it'd be cool to get out and see people in our t-shirts. I'd love to just be walking down a street somewhere in sunny Birmingham or vibrant Brighton or somewhere and like turn around and see somebody in a Talk Bollocks Tuesday t-shirt.
You might have to change it to like TBT across the chest or something, so it's like an inside joke. I'm not sure you're gonna get away with.
I've already committed to Talk Bollocks Tuesday.
Okay, all right. My listeners, let us know which one you prefer. Like the obvious,
we could do both.
TBT 2024.
We could do both.
Could do, couldn't we? Yeah.
Get one match out with your big smiley face on it.
Oh, jeez.
Like George Dawes, just like a big Matt Chapman head on a T-shirt.
You don't want my big head on a T-shirt. Definitely not.
I think we've just come full circle now, literally, from the first conversation about you sitting erect.
Yes, yes. It's been a good one
on
today.
That note, we better go before Apple block us from every single channel.
Fair dues, mate.
All right, well, have a good one. We'll speak some more bollocks next week.
Cheers, matey.
Nice one.
Brought to you by Martialytics. Easy to use, super powerful management software for your martial arts school. Support our podcast by making your art martial orders via the link in our show notes. Art Martial. Art Martial. Streetwear inspired by martial arts culture.